Before we begin, Simran and I would like to acknowledge that we're recording this from the unceded land of the Kulin Nation. Simran's recording from her house on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung country, and I'm recording from mine on Bunurong country. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Combamary people, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay respects to their elders past and present.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And I'm Simran Pastricha.
And this is the podcast for Burnt Out Divas.
Trying to stay
broadly relevant.
And I have a check-in question for you, Ryan. What is something that you learned in our time away?
Well, 2 days ago you taught me what a Kia Asylum was.
And do you want to share with the class?
Well, it's different from the Kia Arena. The Kia Asylum is where celebrities, like unpopular celebrities, are before they're like pre-popular. Like Charlie XCX, pre-Brat.
Yes. Yes, and Zara Larsson, she's broken out of the Kia Asylum. What's the Kia Arena?
The Kia Arena is the biggest show court at the Australian Open.
Wow, and you learn something new every day.
Broadly culture.
Hey, and we're a little rusty, but we're getting into it. Ryan, do you want to start with culture?
Absolutely. This is less a news story, but it's me needing to air some frustrations I have with the Italian people. The Olympics opened up on the weekend. Milano Cortina 2026, which is pretty notable. It's a Winter Olympics. It's the first Olympics to be officially held in a multi-region bid. So Milano and Cortina are two towns, 400 kilometers away from each other. Simran, you might know Cortina because it's in Veneto, which is a place where you've stayed.
Sure was.
And Milan, you've also stayed in.
Sure have.
So it's covering a massive area, which is pretty exciting. But the opening ceremony was on Saturday morning for us, like 6 a.m. And I watched it in full. And I am incredibly grumpy and frustrated at it. Because what the fuck was that? I will. So first of all, the opening moments lacked tension, but we don't have to get into that. My core criticism, okay, is that the Olympic cauldron, the thing that we do the Olympic torch relay for like months, right, doesn't happen in the stadium. So you've got like 100,000 people in the stadium watching a TV screen of the cauldron getting lit elsewhere in Milan. And here's the tea with the fucking cauldron. You know those like little toys that we used to play with as kids where they were like bowls that you could shrink or make bigger and they would like fold in and fold out?
Yes, yeah.
So the cauldron was like that with a minuscule fire in the middle of it. They like put the torch to it, tiny little fire lights, and then it just expands and glows. And I'm sorry, but I am sick of the Olympic cauldrons these days. It's all like, we can't do emissions, so we're going to give you fucking Playmobil. And it's like, give me some drama, give me some tension. Anyway, so I have a real problem with that. Also,
do you think that's like a representation of the time? Is that a recession indicator? Or is that just like been like the...
I think it is a recession indicator, actually.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Right?
No, because when I think about the best Olympic cauldron lightings, it's like from countries that like put themselves into debt to host the Olympics. But I think we should go back to that era. You know what I mean? Because, you know, maybe the Euro crisis of like the late 2010s, early 2010s was worth it for the Athens Olympics. You know what I mean?
For the cauldron. So true.
Exactly.
And
I mean,
nobody says that. Nobody
and you remember
that.
The cauldron.
Yeah, personally.
I don't know. I'm just grumpy. I'm grumpy.
What else? What other tea do you have from the Olympics?
Well, apparently also the medals that they're giving athletes are a bit shoddy. And anytime athletes sort of shake them too much, the fabric falls off the actual medal, which I find just a hilarious problem to have, you know?
I love that also.
it's happened at least 4 times. So there you go, you know. The Italians.
Olympics is quite whimsical, I've decided, you know. It's got a lot of whimsy. I also learned this at the AO, that sports is kind of whimsical. I've been famously very anti-sports.
I think sports is fun again.
I like get bored. There's like no real reason. But yes, I think it's kind of funny and fun, and like people get really into it. Like there's costumes involved and theatrics at the Olympics specifically. The AO, it was like all of us had to like be super quiet while these like two grown men like grunted on the, I was like, these are the gladiators. Like
I was like, this Olympics is so interesting. I want to say 2006, and I was watching like speed skating, and yeah. You have to be like completely silent before they start so they can hear the gun. And I accidentally made them have to restart the heat because I just I was eight and I just started making some noise.
That's embarrassing. Were your parents like so mortified?
I'm sure they were. But yeah, the AO. Was it an article that I read today on the festivalization of the AO?
Oh yes. Okay. Yeah. Everyone is also upset with the influencers being at the AO.
Well, the influencers are a cost of doing business nowadays, you know? Yeah, what can you do?
Marketing.
Let
marketing,
him in.
Baby.
I love an influencer.
But the festivalization, that's very interesting. Hey, make things more festive.
And the thing is, it looked really fun. I mean, all the food on the grounds.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this A1 frappe, but I've read a lot about it.
No, I read a lot about it.
And what else is happening in culture, Simran?
Ooh, okay. So this is all over my For You page, and it has been like for months now leading up to Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl. Very exciting. Have you watched?
I watched it in full.
Amazing, amazing. I watched it live, and it was awesome. Live in the sense that I watched it from my phone as it was happening. If you are somehow unaware, there's lots of controversy around Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl this year. There was, because he is a Puerto Rican resident. He's from Puerto Rico.
An American citizen.
Famously, an American citizen. Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory of the U.S., so
it's kind of like the Canberra of America.
Yes, totally. And I feel like, I don't know Trump. He doesn't make a lot of sense usually. And this time was no different. He was very upset that it would be a Spanish-speaking artist on display at the Super Bowl. There was a whole like rival Super Bowl halftime performance as well that was happening by Turning Point USA. So all just like bad juju. But let me tell you, the performance was awesome. It was awesome. And I wanted to kind of look at the, you know, it was a big moment of time and kind of like the fact that he was placed on that stage in this moment when ICE is like fucking up the USA and like there's obviously so much racism in the world. I think it was really special that he got to, you know, go on such a huge stage. And I wanted to go, I feel like some people expected him to go really hard with like the political, like, and just like be really, really like, hard with what he said. And I saw some people be like kind of like ajar that he didn't. And I was like, actually, that's not true. Let's take a look into his performance and the references that he made. So one of my favorite references was Ricky Martin. He joined Bad Bunny. Yeah, that was really cool. So it was Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin. And Ricky Martin sang through the show. And he was talking about, like, the song that he sang basically was like, let's not let what happened to Hawaii happen to Puerto Rico. And they're talking about, like, the island's gentrification and, like, potential U.S. statehood. And I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Politics right there in the house. And the fact that Ricky Martin, like, sang it in Spanish was, like, huge. Then the next one was the backdrop of the sugarcane fields. Okay, I loved this part specifically because so many of the trees were actually like people in like costumes. And how it's fun. Like, you know, I thought of the time that I played a tree in a musical and it was very exciting. So I felt that personally. And I was like also thinking, how do people get these jobs? You know, like how do you apply to be a tree at the Super Bowl? You're in theater. I feel like you should know this.
I imagine they put a call out for dancers, you know?
No, I mean, they weren't dancers. I don't think they were dancers. They were just people who, like, met the height, like, requirement.
No, but they'd be performers. Like, you're not throwing anyone in there. Like, I mean, it's the same way that I, you know, have performed at a Paralympic opening ceremony and that, you know.
You just wanted to say that.
our other mutual friend performed at the Gold Coast 2018 opening ceremony. Like, so you know, so people just apply.
You forgot to mention that. You forgot to mention that in the first culture. You said, let me bring
you
it
just,
back.
You know, you apply and you find out through your networks and, like, you know,
yeah.
You're clocked into the network.
Yes. But it was a nod to the sugarcane workers and the colonization in Puerto Rico. There were so many different political references, but I'll just run you through my last two, like, that really stood out to me. The use of the climbing power lines during his halftime show. So I didn't clock really into, like, what this really meant, but it was the song that, oh my God, I'm not going to pronounce it. I feel scared. But it was essentially...
El Apagón?
Yes, exactly. The song references Puerto Rico's economic issues with the island's electrical system. And the polls, they exploded in the performance. And it, you know, referenced, like, power grid and frequent, like, outages. And I thought that was, like, really interesting and a really clever way to, like, input this. They also used the original Puerto Rican flag, which was banned. It was, like, with the lighter blue. Lady Gaga also wore the lighter blue in her part of the performance. Now the flag has a darker blue triangle because it's about, like, the US's territory and propaganda and all that fun stuff, and we can't even get into the flag situation, okay? But yeah, I thought it was, like, really interesting. I also thought I love this commentator on TikTok. His name is Jamal Berkman. I've talked about him before on here. And
I love him.
Yeah, he has a really good video on talking about how much joy there is in the performance and how, like, lively and beautiful it was. And I think that in itself was a political statement, and how much, like, love there was, and very much, you know, like, our existence is resistance, layered with those references that are so personal, especially, like, for people in the Latin community. And I think, like, comparatively to Kendrick's performance, also very political, a little bit more, like, overtly a fuck you to the president, and also loved, also obsessed. But I thought it was really nice. I think some people were surprised with how much, like, I guess, like, commitment to joy there was. And I really enjoyed that part. Yeah. That's my tea on that.
I heard some really interesting criticism of it, which was kind of, like, pointing out, obviously, like, NFL is, like, a massive cultural thing in the US, and how, regardless of the fact that, like, there were these sort of symbols that were displayed of, like, Puerto Rican independence, for example, there's still something about it being subsumed into the power structure of, like, Apple Music halftime show that, like, robs it of some of its legitimate resistance. And it's, like, now everyone's online being like, oh my God, wow, Puerto Rican independence, because of watching the show, rather than, like, actual discourse. What was the specific phrase that I read on a beautiful Instagram post? It manages dissent through culture, because it's, like, a state-sanctioned way to be like, ah, I'm angry, but at the end of the day, all you've done is watch the football, you know?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I've also read criticism of that take.
Yeah, okay, cool. Go on.
Well, and then the criticism that I was reading, which I think I vibe with a lot, is that not... If you think of, like, wokeism as, like, a journey from A to Z, not everyone can get to Z just like that, and not every sort of artist or activist's role is getting people to Z. It might just be getting them from A to B, and Bad Bunny definitely isn't getting people to Z, but he's probably moving people from A to F.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And I think also, you know, like, I think everyone is allowed to be, like, where they're at, like, whatever time they want to be. And I also saw this TikTok recently that really, like, jarred me, because sometimes I get upset at people who don't come to protests, like, with me, and, like, have never been to a protest whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're, like, able to. And the video basically said, like, not everybody can be the protester. Not everybody needs to be the protester. Yeah. And, like, there are different people, and there needs to be variety in the movement to make the movement go forward. And that really stuck with me, because I was like, oh, okay, I really need to get out of my, you know, own, like, journey and path. And people are doing work in, like, different ways. And it's all necessary and it's all needed. So I thought that was like an interesting...
Yeah, well, there's a toxic strand in leftism that demands everyone has to say something about everyone, and not everyone is in a position to say something because they're...
Totally.
Like, for you as a journalist, you know, you're completely unbiased, I'm fully aware. But like, there's things that I know you can't say because you're doing the work to say things in other ways, in other places, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But you're completely unbiased.
Totally. Allegedly. Should we move on to news?
Let's do it.
Should we move on to news?
Broadly news.
Lots happening in news today.
Free Palestine. Well, here's some bad news to start with. So you may have heard of the rogue nation state called Israel. Israel's security cabinet has approved new rules aimed at strengthening Israel's control over the occupied West Bank, which is going to give more power to settlers to go in and like take homes and land from Palestinians in the West Bank, which is its own nation, but under Israeli occupation and control, which is pretty fucked up. But here's the tea. But so basically there had been rules that prevented Jewish individuals from buying land in the occupied West Bank. And sort of like a lot of the Israeli settlements were technically illegal under Israel's own laws, which was where a lot of the international condemnation came from. Because it was like, Israel, you can't even do this as per yourself. And basically Israel is moving to be less hypocritical and more outwardly genocidal by allowing for the annexation of West Bank. But here's the tea. Trump opposes what's going on there because he just thinks it's going to cause more conflict, which is so interesting when he says the right thing once every 24 hours.
Yeah.
In amongst all the other bullshit.
24 hours is very generous, actually.
Well, technically it wasn't Trump. It was a White House official. But, like, you know, he's the head honcho. But the specific quote was, a stable West Bank keeps Israel secure and is in line with this administration's goal to achieve peace in the region, which I don't believe a lick of. But, yeah, it's being pushed forward by all of the far-right ministers in Israel's government who are very pro-genocide. Mm-hmm. And on the topic of pro-genocide officials in Israel's government...
Isaac Herzog, the president of Israel, has landed in Australia. So at the time of recording, it's a day after that he landed, we saw a nationwide protests against his visit to Australia. So let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the beginning. I feel like people are confused at the whole situation. Lots of moving pieces. So Albanese invited Herzog to Australia. He has said that Herzog is coming particularly to engage with members of the Jewish community who are grieving the loss of 15 innocent lives. This is from the Bondi terror attack late last year. Herzog, not a great guy.
But what does it mean to be president of Israel?
It's like a symbolic thing.
He's the head of state. Like, you know how the king is our head of state?
Yeah.
So, like, they're like the symbolic, the head of the government, but they're not necessarily the one, the head of the executive that does the thing. So, like, the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, does the things. Herzog represents Israel.
Okay, totally. Totally. Terrible human. So, yes, he has faced a lot of criticism for comments on Palestinian following October 7, 2023. He blamed all Palestinians for the situation. He said it's an entire nation out there that is responsible and has been pictured citing bombs, like, to go to Palestine. So, you know, has definitely incited genocide. And it is... very bizarre that our prime minister would invite someone that's incited genocide to come grieve with people here. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would you want someone, like, you know, that's not who I'm calling. That's not who I'm calling if I'm wanting to grieve with someone. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion on that one.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm personally not dialing genocidal maniacs.
You know? Yeah, so on Monday night, protesters gathered around Australia, but they also gathered in Sydney Town Hall to oppose Herzog's visit. And before the rally, organisers in the Palestine Action Group had hoped to march through the city, but a court decision upholding police powers because the visit had been deemed a major event to restrict protests meant that the march was effectively banned. It was in a restricted area because of these like new laws that were like really just very quickly put in at the end of last year from the Minns government. But the protests went forward. People came to the protest. So the Australia of the Year, Grace Tame, she spoke at it. A Jewish writer, Anthony Lowenstein, spoke at it. Amnesty International spokesperson spoke at it. You know, so people were peaceful during the speeches. You know, there was chanting, obviously. People were holding placards. It was as the rally drew to a close, people began moving towards George Street. Some people were trying to leave. Some other people were calling on the police to let them march. And this is kind of where it really escalated. Police on foot and horseback formed lines. They issued move on edge orders, and you know, they started using batons and pepper spray, and there are so many videos of people being, you know, like pushed down and punched and spat at and just like repeatedly beaten. There was even a video of these men praying and police coming and like aggressively pulling them apart and like pushing them around. And it's quite horrific. And ultimately, New South Wales police said that there were 27 people that had been arrested, including 10 for allegedly assaulting officers. Today, we have found out that 9 people out of those 27 have been charged. Obviously, all bad, all really, really bad. The Palestine Action Group wrote afterwards that they said instead of respecting the right of 50,000 people who turned up to express their outrage against a government celebrating someone accused of inciting genocide, the police resorted to unleashing unseen violent repression. And that's so right. And a lot of other people agree as well. You know, there were multiple Labor MPs, Labor politicians, and that went to the protest and went against Chris Minns, and, you know, Greens MPs also joined, and all said that this is like an egregious overreaction from the police. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner Peter McKenna has said that he's very proud of the officers' conduct on the night. He said, you know what was so crazy? He was like, they waited a whole hour. They waited a whole hour until they had to react. And I was like, that is like insanity. Anyways, that he really like wanted like his props for that. Chris Minns has also pushed like a similar argument, saying that police were put into a impossible situation. Yeah, so all just like very horrible. Anthony Albanese has said that he is devastated by the footage. I think the main thing that I wanted to talk about was the fact that these protests are still going on for the next for the next week, basically, for Herzog's visit. They're happening in like all over the nation, in Melbourne, in Nam. They'll be happening at Thursday at 3 when he visits here. And I think it's important. I feel like some people I've been speaking to are definitely, you know, nervous about going, and, you know, are scared, and that totally makes sense. I think there are like different ways that we can like support if you don't feel like able to, or you don't feel, you know, also it's like 3 o'clock. So sometimes people like can't like get there in time. I think showing up is like so important. And I feel like this is the time more than any that we need to be showing up in larger numbers. But also let's finally fucking mobilize. I'm sorry, like, can we actually, when people say, oh my god, let's email our MPs, no one's actually doing it. Pull up your email receipts, pull up your sense, you know, like, let's actually like talk and engage with our elected officials. Like, they work for us. I feel like people like forget that, you know. Go on.
Do they work for us?
In theory, they work for us.
In theory, there's just a lot of gas money and oil money and totally. Military money going around, isn't there?
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad. But I just wanted to clarify like a couple things of like how it all went down, because I'm seeing a lot of misinformation. I think I've spent the day reporting on it, so I've seen like all sides. I feel obviously like in my bubble, you know, like you kind of see the protesters' like perspective, but looking at like different bubbles and having to like report on like different angles of it, it's clear how much propaganda is out there to be pro-cop and that the police were in the right. Yeah, it's very bizarre the way that the mainstream media is like reporting on it.
Did you see what the interview that was it Stefanovic interviewing Mins this morning, where he was like, "Oh, but do you think they just did that deliberately just to force the cops to respond, to bait them, to make it look sympathetic to them?" And I'm like, regardless of if they were baited, they should not respond like that. Like,
literally. What do you mean? Also, why are you so like untrained as a cop that you can't, that you take the bait, you know? Like if it is, which,
well,
it's not.
They can't control their emotions. And, you know, shall we talk about the rates of domestic violence coming from the police force?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I have some high. Like, it's so high. It's fucked.
It's so high. It's high. It's bad. I don't know what we have to say on this, but let's clarify, babe.
So, ACAB.
ACAB, always, if you can, show up to protests. But keep doing the work. Also, it's like when Australians say that, like, oh, that would never happen here.
It also historically has been happening. Can I say, this is the thing that grinded my goat about Bondi. Everyone was like, this is the worst terrorist attack that's happened in Australia. And I'm like, you ever heard of 1788? Like, I just, the amount of massacres that have happened on this country, and then to say that was the worst, I don't know.
Yeah, and also, like, the amount, yeah, especially now looking at everything, like, state violence has, like, existed for a very long time and continues to do so. It's happening. Yeah. Shall we move on to lighter things?
Broadly Diva.
Welcome back to Broadly Diva. Oh, okay. You go.
This is like our fun little segment, which we're going to do once a month now, where we each bring a favorite diva to each other, and then we pitch them to each other, and then it's up to y'all to vote on who the winner of Broadly Diva is in our Substack. How cool.
That's right. We're launching a Substack.
Yes. So we are starting our newsletter, actually, this time around. The quick pitch is, and I actually think this is really cool, because we were both like, none of us wants to write full articles weekly. That's insane. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use it as like a little diary documenting our work on this podcast, specifically evaluating our success at becoming the best podcast network in Australia. Because I think it's important to have a little bit of insanity to your dreams, but also hold yourself accountable to them, you know? And we want to be honest, raw, and vulnerable in that Substack. Let you guys know how we're going, dethroning media.
Yeah. You have to cut that or just bleep it. Like.
Anywho, totally. So the link is in our bio everywhere, but it's also broadlyrelevant.substack.com. And
that's where you get to vote for Broadly Diva. You vote for this month's Broadly Diva. It gets carried on to the next month. And at the end of the year, we'll have a ceremony for the Broadliest Diva of them all.
Yeah, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And who's your Broadly Diva for the month?
Ooh. Okay, so it's a girl named Reality with Allie, and she is a mutual I have on TikTok, and I really enjoy her. She is a reality TV fan, as am I, but she likes to do pop culture with politics. So I discovered her, yeah, really crazy that. I discovered her because she was looking at all the political affiliations of each reality TV stars, and there's a lot of them. And she like started with Bravo specifically. And I think in a time where, you know, I want to be supporting people who, you know, support people, I have, you know, the work that she puts in is like pretty intense. She like goes through like Instagram accounts and then like finds like burner accounts and sees like who they're following and like, you know, like the mutuals of that following. And I'm like, girl, like, how do you find the time? I don't know, but I love to see it. She lives in Portugal also, which is like fun. I famously, Ryan and I went to Portugal together one time. We met up there. That was a fun time. But I have always said that reality TV is the window into the human experience. And I feel like politics is a really big part of that. And I love that she is so vocal about putting that in the forefront, because a lot of like, I follow a lot of like Bravo and reality TV TikToks and accounts and like podcasts. And I'm like really into the world. Like once you're like in it, like the Reddits, like you are so committed as a fan. But a lot of the time I feel like people, are really chill and like flippant with like the politics that come from it, and like they treat it like an escape from the world. And while I think that's like important and like there are definitely like places of it, I think 100%. Reality TV, you know, has so many layers because it is real at the end of the day. Yeah. It's like real people, so let's put our thinking caps on, you know, when we're watching and we're digesting. And I think she really aids in that and doesn't shy away from it and like pushes it in people's faces in the best way. And isn't always received well in the community for it. And so I think it's really brave of her, and she's made my watching experience much better. Yeah, love her.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Who's your diva?
Catherine O'Hara. You may know her as a Canadian-American actress, comedian, and screenwriter whose career spanned over 50 years. I was just reappointing myself with her Wikipedia page in light of the news that came out today that she actually died of a pulmonary embolism. And she was in a lot more movies than I thought she was in, because I knew she was in a lot, but I don't watch or remember many movies. Did you know she was in Where the Wild Things Are in 2009?
No!
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, well, that's Where the Wild Things Are. She was also in The Wild Robot, the one with Kit Connor that recently came out. Elemental, the Pixar movie. Frankenweenie, that Leica animation movie. Chicken Little, Over the Hedge. Did you know any of this?
No, but those are like the classics. Wow.
The Nightmare Before Christmas, that's all her voice roles, the big ones. My favorite movie that she was ever in is Waiting for Guffman, which is this beautiful mockumentary about an American amateur theater company in, like, regional America. And she just plays, you know, like, an insane member of the, like, insane in the sense of, like, community theater insane, member of the local ensemble who's just, you know, like, full of herself. And I love her. Obviously, we all know her from Schitt's Creek and everything else. Home Alone as well. Also the Netflix series, A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yes.
Which I'm just like, wow, she truly was in everything. But yeah, I just, missing her today.
Missing her today.
Also, every other day for the past 2 weeks, did you know the morning that she died, I walked out of my bedroom and spoke to my housemate, and like I did, like I emulated her character from Schitt's Creek, as I do some mornings. And then Chelsea was like, she died today. And I was like, what a bit. And I truly thought that was just a bit that was happening. And then 6 hours later, it's happening on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, my God. No.
I was like, I'm doing a bit. Chelsea's doing a bit. Catherine O'Hara's dead. How fucked. It's very sad.
That's a very traumatizing experience for like everyone involved in that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay. I don't know how to go forth now with who you're going to vote. The listeners are going to vote for Broadly Diva. Come on.
Well, you know, it's really politics or humor, you know, and you can't have both.
So true. So true. Should we check out?
Let's do it.
Ooh, what's an exciting thing that you're looking forward to in our new era?
Oh, I was going to pitch, which country do you most want to have independence? or which part of a country?
No!
I think of some really competitive answers.
I know!
You don't have a take on it?
I think leave this in this whole bit in here. And that's what you can anticipate for our Substack, making it broadly relevant. Please go subscribe if you would like to vote. The link will be in our Instagram bio at Broadly Relevant. It'll also be in our show notes. We're so excited to be back. So thank you so much for listening and for joining us.
See you next time.
Love you. Bye.